If you would please turn in your Bibles to the sixth chapter of the book of St. Mark, St. Mark chapter number six. One of the things that I've learned about being a pastor, not preaching per se, but being a pastor, is that our charge is to know those whom the Lord has given us responsibility for. Your spiritual growth, your encouragement is of great importance. I was wondering about the passage of scripture that I was preaching, and as I began studying it and realized that there was more to say than I had initially planned to say, and talked to the Lord about it, I received confirmation that I should continue preaching this topic, even though it's not a traditional Christmas passage. I'm aware of many of the circumstances of our members, sicknesses, diagnoses, troubles, and rather than being mandated by pure tradition, I feel as if I need to speak a word again about this passage for the encouragement of our people. There have been family members that have passed away. If you were here last week or heard the service, you would know that there's been a death in the family of one of our long-term members, Linda. Many other circumstances which I won't elaborate on, but I believe that the Lord is speaking to us and desires to speak to each of us. It's a highly stressful time we live in. A highly fearful time we live in. And even this past week with the news of surges, I wondered whether we're doing the right thing. Should we rethink whether we're gathering together? And then a more reasoned mind said that we're taking the necessary measures to be safe. And trust that by following the guidelines of the CDC as well as local authorities that things would be okay. But it is a highly difficult time. And I do feel a sense of responsibility for everyone here as well as our elders. So, my intent is to preach this Sunday, and hopefully I'll be able to conclude this Sunday and be able to preach, including New Year's four sermons that will be more traditional in terms of the Christmas or the Advent season. St. Mark chapter number 6, verses 45 through 52, it reads as follows. Jesus immediately made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him, and they were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it's I, or it's me. Don't be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. The word of the Lord. Last week, after some introduction, we moved to a few verses into this passage, and one of the things I would like to say beginning is that you know, as we just read, that the disciples were in deep trouble. Fishermen, but they were, and probably as good of boatsmen as you could probably find. Years of being on the sea fishing, and no doubt had experienced troublesome weather before, but this is different. Their very lives were threatened by the power of this storm. The disciples had gone out into the sea. It was early in the morning, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. It was dark, of course. Jesus had gone to the mountain to pray while the disciples were sent on their way to Bethsaida via boat and en route to doing God's will. En route to continuing to do God's work, a mighty storm met them. And here these adult men were afraid. Jesus saw them straining at rowing, verse 48 says. With all their might, they were trying to keep the boat afloat and on course, no doubt. But the wind was against them, the Bible says. And they were in the dark. They were rowing in the dark. I've felt like that before. When you didn't quite know what to do. And like the disciples, I was doing the Lord's work. I believe I was in the will of God. I was caught in a storm. And no matter how hard I rowed, the winds were against me. Difficult to steer when you're caught in a storm like this. I realized in my ministry that in life as a Christian in general, that being in the will of God and doing the work of God does not make you immune to storms. And even that in their advanced level of steering boats, the disciples' lives were in danger. They were no match for this storm. It came suddenly and ferociously. My question to you this morning is, what do you look for in a storm? What do you look for in a storm? Well, to give you the answer, it's Jesus. There's no substitute for the Lord doing His work. As great a role as our spouses play, they are no substitute for the Lord's work. Neither are friends or other family members or co-workers. This is a time in the life and experience of the disciples when they needed the perception, the perspective, and the power of Jesus alone to control a situation that was out of control. Oh, we're tempted to do some things when we're in storms. We're tempted to wax desperate. But the disciples' options were pretty limited. One reason we know that Jesus is God, and I mentioned this last week, is because Jesus can come to us and rescue us without spouse, without friend, without neighbor, without family, without co-worker, if circumstances dictated. Jesus needs no one else. He may choose to use someone else, but Jesus needs no one else. When Jesus is involved in our circumstances, there is no substitute for him, and nothing or no one can prohibit Jesus. No matter what the day is, no matter what time of day it is, even if it's 3 a.m., no matter what the trouble is, Jesus can and will come to us and save us. Verse 49 says that when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and they cried out. Jesus walked to them on the water. Nothing happens in nature and nothing happens in the spiritual realm outside of the sovereign control of our Lord. With sovereign control over all of creation, according to Colossians 1:16. So we as Christians should take special note from this episode that no circumstance is truly out of control, since Jesus is in charge and nothing can prevent the Lord from reaching out to his children in spite of our circumstances. The boat had an anchor, but the anchor was useless in these circumstances, if you remember from last week. And I ask a question, who or what is your anchor? And if it's not Jesus, your anchor is equally useless in your storms. Verse 49b says, they cried out, they were in fear. Gospel of John says they were afraid. It's not the first time we've seen the disciples afraid, but it's another example of them being in fear. They were fearful when Jesus was arrested. After the Last Supper, they were hiding and had locked the door in the upper room, fearful of also being arrested and perhaps killed. They were afraid. Why were they afraid? Well, they're human beings like everyone else. It was a fierce storm. The fierceness, the ferocity of the storm, it was different than any other time. They've managed before, but now their lives are in danger. But more importantly, they were fearful because a figure of someone or something was walking toward them. That had never happened before. A figure, unrecognizable at first, is walking toward them on the water. They'd never seen anyone do that. Whatever or whoever it was is walking toward them. I like the fact that even when you and me are caught in a storm, Jesus does not go the opposite direction. You ever called up a friend, a person you thought was a friend, or a family member, and you're in trouble and you need some help, and they make every excuse under the sun why they can't help you? And then when you call back, they stop answering the phone. They really don't want to help. They really don't want to be involved. But if you notice here, Jesus is walking toward them. Here is fear of the unknown. They don't know who it is. I seem to think that this speaks to many of us, maybe most or all of us, at certain points in our life. It's amazing that all of us suffer from anxious moments because of things that usually haven't even happened yet. The person walking to them hasn't gotten close enough to the boat for them to recognize who it is. And having seen Jesus perform so many miracles, you would think that they would suppose it was Jesus who had sent them on this mission, who was there to save them. But no, their minds didn't work like that when they were in terrifying circumstances. They thought it was a ghost. It wasn't a real person, but a ghost. At first, the disciples didn't recognize that it was Jesus who was walking toward them. From a distance, they didn't recognize this mysterious figure. But then they must have concluded at some point that only Jesus could do this. Has anything ever happened in your life when you, maybe in retrospect, realize, oh yeah, that was God. That was God. That was God. Only our Lord, by the way, can defy nature and control nature's actions at the same time. They must have also thought, who else can walk through a storm and not be affected by the storm? The boat was being tossed and driven, but Jesus wasn't. Who else can suspend the laws of nature by walking on the water and command the waters to sustain him, hold him up? Nobody but Jesus. Who else would not be taken underwater by the boisterous waves? Only Jesus. And who is this that walks through the boisterous winds and not be blown down? Only Jesus. Well, when you can't decide on a job opportunity because you're conflicted as to whether God is in this job opportunity or that job opportunity, or you're paralyzed by choices over which home to buy, the one with the pool, the one without one, the one on a hill, the one that's on flat ground, what school you should attend, or who's the person that's right for me and for my future? Should I relocate or should I stay where I am? In the case of the disciples, they must have thought, should I stay in the boat and take my chances that it's the Savior Jesus who's walking toward us to help us? Or should I jump out of the boat and try to save myself by swimming to shore? Well, the wrong decision could have meant their lives. Well, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because it's vitally important for you and I to know how to discern the presence and preeminence of Christ in every situation and not be motivated by fear. Also, please note, Jesus comes to us in response to our prayers, even in troublesome circumstances. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus didn't go the opposite direction, but he came to his disciples in their distress. So the question is this: do we recognize the Lord when he comes to us? As with us, as well as the disciples, it's true. I'll admit it. It's true. It's difficult for us to recognize God at work when we're in a storm. When winds are howling all around us, when the water and the waves are splashing against us, when it's dark and we can't see which way to go, and we must depend upon God. It is at that time, it is often most difficult to recognize God at work. The men in that boat have often been criticized for not having recognized Jesus, but they should also be commended for wanting to make certain it is Jesus who's talking to them. There's been a whole lot of people who've said, the Lord has told me to do this, and that wasn't true. They didn't recognize the voice of Jesus. Many a poor decision has been made in the name of the Lord when it wasn't the voice of the Lord. Many people will come in my name, the Lord Jesus said, and even work miracles, but Jesus will say to them in that day, depart from me, I never knew you. History is full of people, movements. I preached a few weeks ago, short weeks ago, and named a few, three specifically, so-called religious leaders who were not being led by Jesus and who led people on very dangerous and tragic paths. So all of us are trying to determine whether it's God at work in our circumstances or not. We must ask this question, and I think it helps. Is this something Jesus could and would do? Only Jesus could and would do. In order to discern whether or not it's God at work. Or is this something that anybody could do? As for the disciples' circumstance, only Jesus saves like this. By either calming a storm, delivering them out of a storm, or both. Only Jesus could do that. Now let me give you a few things I'd like to mention also about recognizing Jesus. How do we recognize Jesus, particularly in a storm? First of all, Jesus, he helps us with our fear. He helps us with our fear. Jesus doesn't want us living in fear. The second thing is Jesus brings calm or peace rather than further chaos. The third thing is Jesus comes near us rather than moving away from us. Number four, it's clear Jesus has our best interest at heart and brings resolution to our circumstance. Number five, even when we cannot fully recognize it's Jesus, Jesus will save us anyway because he loves us. Verse 50, I'm moving towards my close. But they saw him and were troubled, but immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. It's I. Don't be afraid. As I mentioned a moment ago, the Lord doesn't want us living in fear, let alone being controlled, governed, or steered by fear, regardless of the circumstance. But he wants us to live in faith. In reality, the disciples and have reason to fear because Jesus didn't come to destroy, but he came to save. He has come, he's not come as a judge or the executioner, but he has come to forgive. I've not come to condemn the world. The world might be saved. John 10:10 records the words of Jesus, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's the mission of Christ, to save. So what can we take away from this as he tells his disciples not to fear? When it's truly Jesus coming to us in our life's circumstances, at some point, Jesus will make himself known to us. It will be confirmed by his word that it's him. It'll be confirmed by what He has inspired another person to say, perhaps even unbeknownst to our circumstances, that affirms or confirms what we're believing or thinking. And I also like to say that what Jesus does will never conflict with what Jesus has said. There will never be an answer coming from Jesus that will conflict with what he's already said in his word. The Lord will always honor his word. Our text is telling us one reason. Actually, the whole book of Mark is doing the same thing. This is just the book of Mark in microcosm in Mark 6, 45 to 52. It's telling us one reason Jesus is indeed God is because he is sovereign, and in this case, he even rules over nature. Nothing can stop the work and the will of God. Jesus' vision was not limited even at night. He knew, he saw the disciples in the middle of that sea, even at 3 a.m. The second thing I would like to say in closing, the power of the wind is no match for the power of God in Christ. All four of these, of course, are relative to God's sovereignty over nature. Number three, he's not limited by the force of gravity, which is why Jesus could walk on top of the water. And number four, Jesus displayed his mastery over the winds by causing them to stop, cease. And the winds became still. Well, in just about 8 or 9 words, I can tell you a quick synopsis, and it's this. Jesus is control of your life and mine. And although this is not a specifically Advent sermon, that thought certainly brings me great hope. The presence, preeminence, and power of Jesus is reason for hope in any circumstance, even in a pandemic. Jesus is, rather it looks like it or not, Jesus is in control. And that's a reason for hope. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you.